What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello and welcome to the Katie Alper Show. This episode is a live stream that I did with some great guests during and after the DNC Night 3. So on this episode, I'm joined by Malaika Jabali and Ben Burgess. Malaika Jabali is a writer, attorney, and activist. She's a columnist at The Guardian, and her writing also appears in places like Essence, Teen Vogue, and The Intercept. Ben Burgess is a philosophy instructor, Jacobin columnist, and host of the Give Them an Argument show. And they talked to me about the DNC so far. Specifically, we started out talking about Kamala Harris and her speech. And then we also get to questions of whom to vote for, how much that question matters, the difference between voting for Biden and voting for Trump. Also some on-the-ground organizing that Malaika is doing. If you're listening to this on Thursday, you're in luck because you can catch the live stream DNC coverage that Matt Taibbi and I will be doing. And not only will we be doing it live on my YouTube, we'll be playing his drinking game. So go to my pinned tweet and you'll find the link to that YouTube. Please rate and review The Katie Halper Show if you like the show. And support the show at patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. For as little as $1 a month, you're just supporting this show. The $5 a month level, you get all of these great Patreon-only episodes, and for this week, that includes Jimmy Dore on spirituality and getting very mad at me. Also, the episode from last week was really great, and it's a chat with Liza Featherstone and Greg Goldberg about sex panics and the basically framing of Alex Morris, the incredibly progressive candidate who is challenging Richard Neal for Congress. And make sure if you're in the Massachusetts area, you vote for Alex Morris or you get the word out for Alex Morris. His race is very important. He's really great, really principled, really progressive. Again, that's at patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. Also, at the end of this episode, you'll hear me talking about Bodie, my parents' dog, who I bring on the camera.
Thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Yeah.
Y'all fired up?
Oh my God.
A little bit. So much better if they had it panned out to show the empty room and the weird Zoom clapping.
Well, there are people there.
Yeah, but there are three. Yeah, there are only a few people there, but it looks super weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got that NBA fan cam going. So does he do this? Did he do this yesterday and Monday?
I don't think just he come came out at the physically end in an audience, right? I don't know. What do you guys think?
Sounds
the
like
typical. You said
the typical. Yeah. I mean, this is just typical Democratic, vapid, empty rhetoric.
Right.
Yeah. I also thought it was interesting that even now, like that she's back, like 2018. Kamala's main selling point was what a tough prosecutor she'd been. And like, even now she can't totally let go of that. There was that thing about like, you know, representing the people, Kamala Harris. like that she was still leaning on the prosecutor thing a little bit, like she,
yeah,
you know, like she doesn't talk about it the way that she used to, but like she can't stop, you know, bragging about having had that role.
Even now that it's not as
it's not politically advantageous the way it used to be.
I didn't hear, I don't know, did you guys hear a single policy in there that they're going to use to fight the pandemic or racism or police?
I heard there was no vaccine for racism.
Right, there is no vaccine for racism. Right. The biggest, I think that to sum up the DNC, it's like structural problems, symbolic solutions. Like, they keep talking about systemic racism, structural racism, and then there's nothing about any systemic, systematic, substantive approaches. And the what kills me, the biggest thing that kills me is that saying that COVID disproportionately harms people of color, which it does, and then not embracing Medicare for all.
Well, it's Medicare for all, and it's all the other things that contributed to people, you know, having to be essential workers and having more encounters with the virus. It's people who are forced to, you know, use public transit. It's a whole ecosystem of, you know, the way that capitalism has interacted with racism, but no plans to address that. Love and hope and thinking that America is great and that we're patriots is not going to fix that. And unfortunately, we're talking about two people on this ticket who throughout their careers, they haven't done anything systemic. You know, the things that she mentioned for the most part have been social policies. And we are all familiar with Kamala's work and or lack thereof in not prosecuting One West Bank, Stephen Mnuchin's bank, during that foreclosure crisis that she mentions. And now he's a Treasury Secretary. So Democrats take, you know, one step forward with the rhetoric. Okay, great. We can acknowledge the existence of systemic issues, and then two steps back because they don't do anything. And then there's Republican backlash, or they maintain power that makes things even worse. So it's hard to, you know, really value the rhetoric alone.
I guess the reason I emphasize the Medicare for all stuff is just because it's such an accessible idea. You know, it's so, it's like they just keep, like, obviously all the things that you're saying, like, are totally true about how they're, you know, all these intersections that you mentioned. It's just Medicare for all is like a very concrete thing on the table. I mean, legalizing marijuana, obviously, too, for anyone who cares about criminal justice stuff, right, is another issue. But like, it just, so you're just hammering home again and again how disproportionately affected certain, you know, how racialized COVID is, like saying that again and again, and then not actually embracing the one policy that really aggressively attacks that or could mitigate it is just so craven to me. It's like, yeah, we're going to diagnose the problem and then not actually do the thing that could help it.
Right. Neither of them are committed to it. And as we all know, probably everyone who's watching this, Joe Biden said that he would veto it.
Right.
Just, you know, a few months ago when all of this emerged. So, yeah, I don't know if they really anticipate bringing in more people than Joe Biden would have, or any Democratic nominee would have brought in, or any establishment Democrat would have brought in, you know, by themselves. So I don't know how much any of this really matters. Like, they're talking to, I think they're speaking to the choir, along with some conservatives that have now been added to the choir, some defecting Republicans. But this message, you know, they're in Milwaukee. Is this message really reaching the people who are suffering disproportionately from COVID? There's a higher racial disparity for COVID in Wisconsin than any other state. They are experiencing top three income inequality in the country, Black people in Wisconsin. They're experiencing the highest Black male incarceration rate in Wisconsin for Black men. Black people are also experiencing the highest unemployment rate for working age Black men. So if we're not talking about, you know, if you go down from my reporting, going to the Midwest, and you ask them what kind of minimum wage they want, they're not talking about $15 minimum wage. We say we need $20, $25 is actually a living wage. So they're not talking concrete specifics for these people who have to be the postal workers, they have to be the nurses, and they have to be all these public facing entities, and we're not addressing their specific needs, they're not going to come out and they're not going to be excited, period. And to be in a state which is really like the center point, along with Minnesota, arguably, but Wisconsin is the center point for those disparities that she's talking about related to COVID. And they aren't explicit about that. And they're not explicit about what they're going to do for those people. So, you know, it's, who cares? Who cares besides yeah. the people who already are going to planning on going to brunch on you know, November 4th, they're going to be making their brunch plans once, you know, the country opens up in January. That's not who, you know, they need to be talking to. Are they phone banking in those communities? Are they building power in those communities? I don't see it.
Are you still doing a lot of organizing on the ground?
Yeah, in New York City.
Is that giving you the hope that national politics doesn't?
Yeah. So for people who may not know, I work with a social justice organization. I'm an organizer for Operation Power, people organizing and working for empowerment and respect. And our focus is local politics. So we know that the system was never designed for us. It was never designed for the working class. We talk about democracy in this country, and it was always designed for propertied men. And it continues to function in the same way. Rich white men, to be specific. So for us, local organizing means finding ways to have power on the ground and having state power where we are. So city and state politics, because we can affect that more directly if you're a numerical minority. And so we're actually having a teach-in this weekend where the topic is, you know, whether there's this big battle about Democrats and Republicans, and we live in a capitalist system. So you're always going to have these cycles where someone's going to do great, someone's going to do not so great, because it's not up to Obama or Bush or Trump. It's up to the capitalists who run this country, and they can either bring it to a screeching halt based on their own misdeeds, or it'll be thriving for them in the stock market and their GDP. But it's never benefited the masses of American people. And so we're going to be talking about the fact that we need to be focused on the system of capitalism, the system of militarism, and all of the rest is a distraction. Thinking about Trump and Biden and all that, and Kamala, and having that debate about how effective she's going to be, it doesn't matter. We're still going to, capitalism is not going to end because Kamala and Joe Biden are in power. The coronavirus is not going to give, you know, dividends to all these investors because Joe Biden and Kamala are in power. So we need to raise our class consciousness. So my focus is on raising the class consciousness of Black people and ending capitalism.
And what do you have to say about the Angela Davis kind of response to this election, which is that she stayed out of the primary? Voting for Biden is voting for more space for anti-racism.
I think that's it's a possibility through certain positions and appointments that they would be able to think more about defining the problem and articulating, you know, the issues with racist capitalism, maybe. But if there is nobody committed to doing anything about the solutions, if we're not talking about baby bonds and, again, like increasing the minimum wage or having a Green New Deal that can actually hire people, it doesn't matter. Fundamentally, it doesn't matter. And so if you look at just stats from 1968, I'm going to read off some of them right here, just thinking again about these systemic issues. In 1968, they're talking about the civil rights movement and the vision that they had. Well, okay, well, how much progress did we have since we had the right to vote? Black homeownership in 1968 was at 41.1%. In 2018, it was 41.2%. Black incarceration was 604 people per 100,000 people. In 2018, it was almost three times as much, 1,730 people. So 604 to 1,730. From 1968, it increased three times in 2018. The Black unemployment rate was 6.7% in 1968. In 2018, it was 7.5%. And you know, with COVID, it's going to be remarkably more than that. So if we're not really getting at the nitty gritty of why this shit isn't working because we have capitalism, then we're going to be in the same place.
Malaika, I didn't get a chance to introduce you because we were kind of mid-watching, but Malaika, I did say she's a journalist, and as you can tell, a nerd superb, and also has done amazing work on Black voters in the Midwest, and on kind of the conflation of the terms working class and white working class. So make sure that you check out her piece on that, which is called The Color of Economic Anxiety, and also her movie Left Behind. Left Out. I always say, I'm sorry, Left Out. Left Behind is like the Christian, like fundamentalist evangelical thing. Sorry, Left Out. Not to be confused with Left Behind, which is the Kirk Cameron vehicle. Left Out. Sorry about that.
It has some... I forgot.
Oh, yeah. It's like the left. It's like these, you know, this like Christian evangelical. What's the thing? What's going to happen? It's called the rapture. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he hasn't had any reason to be in the public eye since the rapture didn't happen.
Right? I guess it's a pretty, it's kind of a, it's an engaging film. I watched part of it. Okay. Yeah. It's what's sad is that I don't know how old you guys are, but I remember being really, I wasn't like ever that excited about Obama, but I definitely liked him more than Hillary. And I thought I knew that people were expecting too much, but I thought he would do some good stuff. And then not so much, but I did cry both times. I was really surprised. Both times. I was like really surprised. I cried the second time that he accepted it.
So don't tell anybody. Y'all on YouTube, don't tell anyone, but I campaigned for him. Like we had Democrat, like young Democrats of, you know, Columbia Law School. Like we took a trip to Ohio to make sure that he won. Like that was a big swing state.
Right.
So we were there for like maybe three days. And so it was like huge that like he actually won, but I never submitted my absentee ballot. So all the work that we did on the ground, I never actually ended up voting, but I just asked the people to vote. And I was super excited in 2008. I cried. Not shedding a tear now, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So you guys, where are you guys in this conversation in terms of like the vote and, I mean, the big, there's this whole discourse of non-voters or people who are not vowing to vote for Biden are privileged. I see that going around a lot.
I think that's silly. I mean, I think if you look especially at the statistics on non-voters, like that's really kind of the opposite of the truth. But, you know, so, and I also just don't think it's that useful anyway to like try to like badger people into not thinking something by talking about how privileged they are. But I do think that it's worth, you know, I will, you know, so I live in a state that could go either way, right? I will vote for Biden and go home and throw up, you know, but I mean, I think that the best case for it is that it's a defensive thing, you know, that like, that if, you know, that even though they're obviously both representatives of the ruling class and they're both going to continue, you know, capitalism, like Malaika was talking about, I think they represent different ruling class strategies. And I think that Trump is going to do things like continue to point people to the National Labor Relations Board who want to wipe out what's left of organized labor in the United States. Whereas, you know, Biden represents a ruling class strategy where, you know, certainly try to weaken them, you know, unions in different ways, but isn't going to just try to crush what's left of collective bargaining in quite the same way. So I wish you hadn't sat out the primary, but I guess I do agree with Angela Davis.
Malaika, you want to have the last word?
This is the last word, or
just no? I mean, yeah, well, people have been. Ben may be wanting to. Ben may be tired because we've been at this for a while.
You guys are hanging out.
Yeah,
I do have to jet in a minute, but yeah, no, I would like
definitely to hear
the perspective.
Yeah.
To me, it's a matter of getting shot in the head or getting a lethal or getting poisoned, you know, daily. So yes, one is violent and dramatic. At the same time, we are dying slowly either way. And at least with one, you see a gun in somebody's hand and you know it's coming, you know? Right. You know, we're not getting shot in the back of the head. Like, we see it very clearly. And so maybe people will try and fight if they know it's coming. We hear all this stuff about holding these politicians accountable and making sure that we can push them left. Unfortunately, when we do have liberals in charge, there's always the concern about, well, the next election cycle, so midterms, and then it's gonna be, well, they gotta maintain power, so you can't go too far left, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. So, you know, I really don't know if we necessarily have the answer. I'm not gonna, I decided not to tell people how to vote. I'm not publicly endorsing anything or anybody. I think that's, I mean, it makes, you can make a case either way.
Yeah.
But I also do want to caution people to just look at history and look at how we have actually behaved under liberal presidencies and democratic control. And for the most part, we don't take it to the streets. We're not rallying. We're not pushing back. We're not fighting. And I don't think Donald Trump is doing anything that Republicans have not been trying to do for the last, 50, 60 years. He's just, he makes people uncomfortable because he's honest about it. And he's open about it.
He takes the mask off, yeah.
And so now people kind of have some ammunition to actually fight back. But when someone's poisoning your food, you can't taste it, you can't tell, and you're dying a slow death. Which one do we prefer?
Yeah. But you know, it's interesting because with that metaphor, I actually feel like a lot of, this explains, I think, why a lot of people are voting for Biden or will, because it's like, to use your metaphor, if they're not sure that they're dying, right? It's like, oh, maybe something feels kind of weird. I have some indigestion. But it gives them like more time to live just like not very comfortable, right? They're not very comfortably. They have some like antacid. Like, I just feel like that actually, I totally hear what you're saying. And But I also think that in a way is kind of like how it works. That's why it works, because people would, for the most part, choose that over the shot in the head. Yeah.
And you could even really run with the metaphor, right? Like you could say, look, if I'm being slowly poisoned, you know, then maybe, you know, like I keep on being slowly poisoned. That's one of my options. Like maybe that'll give me time to get an antidote, right? You know, so I could be.
Yeah,
I'd be exactly. safe, whereas if I'm shot in the head, I'll just be dead.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I don't think we should, like, I think that, like, all the stuff, like, all the people who think that, like, who take the first part of what I said and said this, so we should, like, not talk bad about Biden or whatever. Right. Like, I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, you can be honest about it, right? Like, you know, like, you can be honest about who and what Biden is. And just like kind of take the approach that like, you know, socialists and communists in France took when the runoff election was between Jacques Chirac, who's a conservative, who everybody rightly hated, and Jean-Marie Le Pen, you know, who was a neo-fascist, and like people were doing things like going to the polls with like clothespins on their noses, you know, and like you can, you know, like you don't have to pretend, like even if you do agree with what I'm saying, like you don't have to pretend that Biden isn't terrible.
Yeah,
I think that's what bothers me with this moment, is instead of people saying, yeah, I know I'm being slowly poisoned, but I'm going ahead with it anyway, people are like, they're the most progressive ticket ever. So that's my concern. They don't know that they're being poisoned. They're saying, you know, just the opposite. This is like, this is three square meals.
Yeah, that I think that's true, right? Because then they also lose all their cred, and they also change it. We're losing, if you say that you lose cred, and you're also changing what the definition, right? To the extent that anyone has any power, like you're using your voice to actually change what it means to be progressive. Like, what? Why are you doing that? Just what Kamala could have just said, problems exist. I'm not going to try and solve anything. I'm not that girl. Good night.
Right. Look, we're trying to get Trump out. Y'all know where we at. Let's go. Right. But this is, you know, like, don't fool me. Don't waste my time. Don't have us sitting here at 11:30 still talking about y'all when you could have just said what you said, Katie.
Yeah.
Trump, y'all already said that we could be a piece of shit. Y'all will vote for a piece of shit. You will walk barefoot in glass. You will vote for Hitler to get Trump out. So yeah, right. We might do that. We get it. We know you just don't want Trump. So come with the blue team. Good night, y'all. The convention could have been 1 hour on Monday. We could have been free.
1 hour what? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
1 hour on Monday.
We're just saying what? We're better than Trump?
Yeah, vote for...
Not as bad as Trump.
Right.
Vote for the shit sandwich.
Yeah.
Vote for the ham sandwich.
Shit, yeah. So...
Trump wouldn't be his job is build back better.
You're right. Yeah. Get rid of Trump. Better than build back better. I totally agree, yeah. Well, I mean, thank you guys so much. Really appreciate your time. Malika, if you want to chat more, we can. But Ben, definitely thank you so much. Want to send you off to sleep or to, you know. Thank you again. And make sure you check out Ben.
Walk the dog and, you know, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. You have to send us a dog photo.
Okay. Will do. Thanks, Katie. Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
So you've been slogging away at all of these, huh?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Tonight, last night, where are we? Tomorrow. So let's see. Yeah, this is the third night, and then the fourth night will be tomorrow. Yeah. It's been between Colin Powell and John Kasich and the Whitmans, Meg and Christine Todd.
Yeah, isn't Cindy McCain supposed to be
speaking? Oh, I think she's coming soon, yeah.
So it will be tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's Sidney McCain and I guess
and Biden,
Joe. Yeah, yeah. I don't know who the other big players are. Maybe they'll throw another Bush. Like maybe there'll be a George W.
Yeah, Margaret Thatcher.
I was thinking if they could bring Margaret Thatcher back from the dead or John Birch.
Yeah,
some of those gems.
Mm-hmm. Get all them liberals over here.
Pinochet.
I can't wait.
It's so bad, yeah. It's really terrible. I kind of like Breonna Joy Gray's position on this, which is, and I know that this is just like one aspect, but just because we're talking about the DNC, I'm talking about the election, and I know it's just one aspect, but like I liked her piece in defense of litmus tests, and basically she's like, I would like to happily vote for Biden. I would like to happily, you know, pull the lever. I was going to say pull the trigger, Freudian slip, but pull the lever for him and just asking for very basic things that make him more electable. I don't know.
I'm interested to see if they actually have any real commitments. Have anticipated that they won't, just given the tent.
Yeah. Right.
That they're trying to expand to. And I think this is kind of a moment that we're going to kind of look back on history and say that this could potentially be a political realignment. You have so many people who are so far right wing right now in the Republican Party. Like, is this going to be the thing that pushes for like an actual real progressive third party? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know what, you know, the future will hold. But
yeah.
This need, you know, we're talking about democracy. How do you have democracy with these two parties, with these two corporate-backed parties? Joe Biden is outrunning Trump right now, the number of billionaires backing him.
Right.
Kamala Harris suspended her campaign. She had more billionaires backing her than any other Democratic candidate, excuse me. So how can we break free of that? You know, we cannot call this any kind of democracy or return to democracy if we do not get around that underlying problem.
And what about like, this is just symbolic, but like even Trump considering, you know, pardoning, which of course he should, pardoning Snowden, and then Susan Rice saying, I just can't, this is what the GOP has become. It's like, what? What? Like that? Anyway, yeah, it's... I know. I was talking about this with my friend and I was like, there's no hope. Like I've never been that third party-ish because I'm like, look, we live in a two-party system. I like the idea of it, but like for right now, what can we do? And I was just like, maybe we just do need to threaten it. Maybe there needs to be a big Dem exit and it'll cause some pain, but like we have no leverage, none. And then my friend was like, well, what we really need is a powerful labor movement, which I think is true. But I'm just like, that's like a bigger goal in many ways. It's a more admirable and like noble thing to do. And it is the priority, but also like, maybe what is this? There's like, what's the stopgap? Like, we should be doing that, but that is going to take a while. And maybe
I don't know if there's anything you can really do as a stopgap. I think Bernie Sanders was the stopgap. There were just so many powerful interests in stopping him. We couldn't even have a stopgap.
I know.
The stopgap was stopped.
Yeah.
So what's the next move? You know, right. So I think that's where my focus just goes again to local politics,
right. Because
you have to, it's a long-term strategy. I think it's, you know, it's going to be rough for a while. But the long-term strategy is people raise their class consciousness and you weaken like the Democratic Party infrastructure at a local level where they do have more challengers. And so in East New York, where Operation Power is based, the Democratic establishment doesn't hold the city council seat, it doesn't hold the assembly seat, it doesn't hold the community board. We took that down, you know, so we're thinking of models like that for other major cities. And I think that's going to have to happen on a local level.
Right. It's true. Yeah, it's true. We don't talk about that enough with ICE and how all these things can be very local and like, I mean, well, ICE is not local, but how all these things that can be done to, because of that, all these things that can be done at local levels, but since Trump can only be challenged so much, like on the, mostly through the courts. Dick Cheney and Kissinger are speaking tomorrow. Now, I would love that. Fully take off the mask.
Yeah, Steve Bannon.
Yeah, I know. Well, we were talking about him earlier. The thing is, we were talking about with Thomas Frank. Have you ever been on a show with Thomas Frank? Or you guys should be on the show together. It'd be really interesting. I'm going to have both of you on together.
Okay.
You know, he wrote What's the Matter with Kansas and Listen, I know, Liberal.
I know. Yeah, I'm familiar with him.
Yeah. So you guys would have a really interesting, I mean, you, Malaika is Atlantan, but again, spent a lot of time working, doing research into the Midwest. So it'd be like a fascinating conversation. But why did I just bring that up? What were you just saying?
Steve Bannon.
Oh yeah. He was saying how Steve Bannon had never run a campaign before and all the experts that ran Hillary's campaign, obviously she didn't win, but he's a very sordid guy, but he's very smart and he gets certain things. He gets like the scary stuff that makes people tick. Wait, come here. I got to show you guys something. Look at this little girl.
She's like, why are you interrupting my playtime?
I know. She's so cute. Bodhi, say hi to Malaika. You met her before.
I know. She's
a little bat in her mouth.
Friends.
I know, right?
Hey, Bodhi,
say hi. Bodhi, say hi.
Said hi back.
I know. She's so cute. Oh, my God. Anyway, well, thank you. This was great. I'll be here again tomorrow night. Once more. Hey, Bob. Thank you. And Malaika, where can people find your work?
You can go to bit.ly / leftout2020. So bit.ly/leftout2020. I'm a columnist for The Guardian. So that's where a lot of my writing is. And of course on Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah. And come back. You're one of my faves. You're the Midwestern stringer for the Katie Halper Show.
The Midwestern stringer.
I'm just pretending that that's as if I have, you know, people all over the country. Oh yeah. Let me check with my Midwest office. I'm like a Diwali on the ground.
The Midwest.
Exactly. Yeah.
No one says that. Checking in from Milwaukee.
I know.
It's Milwaukee, right? Wisconsin.
And from the Northeast or the Southeast. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a little Southeast beat too.
Oh yeah, you do. Right.
Speaking of, I'm not really like saying it, but I'm doing a policing column, which I will announce like
awesome.
Officially. Is actually gonna, my first story is gonna be based in Atlanta. So y'all,
where for?
I'm not saying it yet.
So it's not The Guardian though.
No.
But is it somewhere you already write?
No.
So you've never written there before?
Nope.
It's an existing thing. It's not like a your own Medium thing or your own Patreon or Substack.
Right. It's an existing outlet.
Ooh. But
I signed a contract to have my own monthly column.
Wow.
Watching the Police.
So we know it's not Current Affairs. It's not Essence. It's not The Guardian. It's not The Intercept.
Right.
Yeah. All right. And it's not, oh my God. Bodhi, calm down. Malika also won an award.
For the Current Affairs story. So
yes.
Color of Economic Anxiety. It's talking about what we're talking about now, voter enthusiasm and the lack thereof.
Yeah, it's so good.
The Democrats need it most.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so everyone check out Malika. Thank you, Malika, so much. And we will see you tomorrow. We'll be here at I'll be here at like 8:45, maybe with some drinking games. Mm-hmm. And when does your column start?
Next month.
Oh, okay, exciting. You'll have to break the news on the show. You'll have to tell us. Exclusive.
I got you. Yeah, okay. I'll talk about the story.
Next time.
Hopefully we'll be done by then.
All right. Great.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night, Katie. Thank you.
Good night, everyone. Okay. Good night, guys. Bodhi, say good night. Bodhi, say I love you. Say I love you guys. I'm so happy to talk about politics with you guys. I'm really disturbed by how, let's see. Look, oh my God, look at her. I'm just so disturbed by how the Dems are selling out, but we live in a duopoly and I oppose that and I will fight and bark against that. But in the meantime, I just really have a harm reduction framework around this for me. For me personally, like in my heart of hearts, right here, that's how I see it. Oh my God, she's so cute. Right, Boo? She's so cute. Oh, she's making little snorty sounds. By the way, I'm really sorry. I want to give a shout out to Melba Pearson and Jen Perelman, both of whom lost their races, but were so good and really deserved to win. And it's a real shame that they didn't, and it's a shame that the media did not follow them. And there's a real problem with the media being a self-fulfilling prophecy and only following the candidates who are winning. It's kind of like with Emily's List, only giving money to candidates who have money. Mm-hmm. So I'll listen to her growl. Bodhi, you got the mic. Bodhi. Both. Sing. All right. She's a Las Opta, by the way. All right. So yeah. Oh, tomorrow night I'm going to be playing, Matt Taibbi and I are going to be here and we're going to be playing his drinking game. Okay. Put a link in. Thanks so much for listening to The Katie Halper Show. Please rate and review The Katie Halper Show if you like the show, and support the show at patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. For as little as $1 a month, you're just supporting this show. The $5 a month level, you get all of these great Patreon-only episodes. And for this week, that includes Jimmy Dore on spirituality and getting very mad at me. Also, the episode from last week was really great, and it's a chat with Liza Featherstone and Greg Goldberg about sex panics and the basically framing of Alex Morris, the incredibly progressive candidate who is challenging Richard Neal for Congress. And make sure if you're in the Massachusetts area, you vote for Alex Morris, or you get the word out for Alex Morris. His race is very important. He's really great, really principled, really progressive. Again, that's at patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.